The Hokey Pokey, from the historical novel by Frank Amoroso, entitled Whopper, How Babe Ruth Lost His Father and Won the 1918 World Series Against the Cubs, Volume 2, The Show, performed by Neil B. Young, Resonant Voiceovers. "Mind if I join you, Gigi?" said the tall young man. He was dressed in gray sweatpants and sweatshirt that bore jagged salt lines from yesterday's workout. "Sure, have a seat, Billy," said the seated boy between bites of his breakfast. The neck and armpits of his gray sweatshirt were dark with moisture. Both young men were members of the Baltimore Orioles, a professional baseball team owned and managed by Jack Dunn. They were sitting in the hotel dining room. Billy was a right-handed pitcher and sometimes outfielder who was in his second year with the team. Just like the other boy, Jack Dunn had signed him from the Sandlots of Baltimore. Gigi was a lanky, angular youth who had recently signed. For now, his friends called him Gigi. However, that nickname would soon be replaced by one that would become far more famous. "How come your shirt is soaked? Have you been out working already?" Not wanting to interrupt his chewing, the other just nodded. "It's barely 6 a.m. Why are you out so early?" Nudging the remainder of his meal onto his fork with his finger, Gigi scooped the food into his mouth, chewed it, and washed it down with a healthy swallow of coffee. With a satisfied grin, he replied, "After practice yesterday, I bought me that bicycle over there." His grin widened as he cocked his head toward a mud-splattered bike that was leaning against the window of the hotel dining room. "I got up at first light and rode my bike all around Fayetteville. Some of those roads out in the country are still muddy from the rain we had the other day." He beckoned a passing waiter and gestured that he would like another order. Then he raised two fingers and pointed toward his companion. The waiter acknowledged the request amiably. "Did you just order two?" "Yep, one for me and one for you, Billy. I promised him a ride on my bike if he took care of me," said Gigi with a wink. Within minutes, the waiter returned with two platters piled high with food. Billy stared at the plate set before him and looked at Gigi in disbelief. "Don't tell me that you've already eaten one of these." "Sure, why not? Mr. Dunn told me that I could order whatever I wanted and the club would pay for my feed bill," said Gigi. Billy mused to himself that there was no way that Dunn anticipated this. "I've never seen anything like this on the menu. What is it?" asked Billy with a hint of mild revulsion in his voice. "Do you remember the other day when Coach Steinman was working with the pitchers on fielding?" Billy nodded. "Remember that drill where we had to cover first base on every ball hit to our left? And then we had that scrimmage. And on the first ball grounded to the right side, Darby stood on the mound and watched the first baseman field the ball. He never moved to cover first. Do you remember what Steinman did?" Billy shrugged quizzically. "He stopped the scrimmage and yelled at the top of his lungs at Darby for failing to cover first. Aside from cursing him for being stupid and lazy, he called him a ham and egger. Well, that got me thinking about breakfast, and I decided to create this dish. With the help of my waiter friend and the cook, we stacked a ham steak on a large flapjack, covered it with another flapjack, and topped it with three fried eggs. Now that's a real ham and egger," smiled Gigi, tilting the plate proudly. To relieve the boredom of a morning off, Ruth and the other rookies ventured into the city. When Gigi and a couple of the young Orioles passed the Bubble and Squeak Food Emporium on Donaldson Street, he saw an intriguing placard taped to the front window. "The Bubble and Squeak is proud to serve the Thorpe Thunder Sunday in honor of the longest home run ever struck in Fayetteville by that indomitable athlete, Jim Thorpe. The ball traveled 115 yards. The rookies entered and Gigi asked to see the manager. "I'm curious about the Thorpe Thunder Sunday. How was it created?" The store manager, an amiable merchant named Hyman Fleischman, explained that, "A couple of years back, we had that Indian Olympian, Jim Thorpe, playing for the Fayetteville Highlanders, and he mashed a ball so high and far that it brought down the thunder. We decided to name a Sunday after such a prodigious blast. We had a contest to name it, and the entry with the most votes was the Thorpe Thunder Sunday. Would you boys care to try one?"
"I believe I will, sir," said Gigi, to the astonishment of his teammates who had just seen him polish off two orders of his ham and egger special.
When the Sunday arrived, Gigi asked Mr. Fleischman, "What happens if someone hits a ball farther than that Thorpe fella?" The store manager gave him a look that combined pity, surprise, and condescension. "Oh, that'll never happen. No one is stronger than Jim Thorpe. He won gold medals in the Olympics in the decathlon and pentathlon. Now he's a garden tender for the New York Giants. That blast will never be topped."
"Wanna bet?" said Ruth.
Mr. Fleischman did a double take. You think you can outdistance Jim Thorpe, son? Most definitely. I'll take that wager, son. If you hit a ball farther than Thorpe, I'll gladly name a Sunday after you. Except for Billy Morissette, the boys poked each other in the ribs in disbelief at Gigi's arrogance. The young pitcher from St. Joseph's College in Baltimore had been personally victimized by the power of Gigi in the famous showdown against St. Mary's the previous fall. The others would have to see for themselves. No one could anticipate that they were about to witness history that would still be talked about more than a century later. The Orioles practiced at the Cape Fear Fairgrounds. The baseball diamond was situated inside the horse track. That afternoon, there was an intra-squad game, the Buzzards versus the Sparrows. Ruth started at shortstop for the Buzzards and batted fifth. With the game tied at one after the first inning, the Buzzards broke the game open. The big blow came off the bat of George Ruth. With one mighty swing, Ruth turned on a fastball and launched it high and far over the right fielder Billy Morissette's head. As soon as the ball left the bat, the umpire heard Morissette unleash a string of expletives while shouting, "Not again!" The ball traveled so far that it exited the field of play, landing in a neighboring cornfield. Gigi waltzed around the bases and was in the dugout before Morissette had reached the ball. The game halted while sportswriter Roger Pippen measured the distance from home plate to where the drive had landed in the muddy field. He blinked at the tape measure, trying to process what he was seeing. 405 feet! Why, that's 60 feet farther than Jim Thorpe's drive! Pippen shouted in disbelief. In his written report of the historic clout by the Babe, Pippen was effusive in his praise for the youngster from Baltimore, noting that he can play every position and can hit from either side of the plate. In the dugout, Gigi, rubbing his tummy, walked over to the bat boy. "Hey, kid, you're Mr. Fleischman's boy, aren't you?" "Yes, sir. My name is Maurice." "Well, Maurice, you can tell your daddy that Mr. Ruth just destroyed Jim Thorpe's record for the longest ball ever hit in Fayetteville," bellowed Gigi. "Tell him that he can call my new Sunday the Hokey Pokey." He laughed so hard tears came to his eyes. The rest of the Buzzards joined in the hilarity. "Oh, yeah. Tell your dad that I want the Sunday made of strawberry ice cream, covered with crumbled burger cookies. Got that? Crumbled burger cookies." Much later in his career, Ruth described this feat. "I hit it as I hit all the others. By taking a good gander at the pitch as it came up to the plate, twisting my body into a backswing, and then hitting it as hard as I could swing." The following morning, Roger Pippen sat in the hotel dining room, musing over the previous day's events. The reporter hunched forward, cradling a white porcelain coffee mug under his nose. Although he was in his mid-20s, he had the routine of a much older newspaper man. Each morning before writing, he absorbed the aroma of the strong black coffee he preferred, while contemplating the perspective of his next story. Sometimes, the essence of his article was elusive, just beyond his conscious reach, forcing him to strain to formulate the right approach. This morning was the opposite. His mind was bursting with descriptive phrases, and sentences swirled in his head like a herd of stampeding stallions. Was he being offered the privilege of watching the birth of a baseball legend? He shifted the cup to his lips, and the reflection of an overhead light cast a white circle on the brown surface. The image of the baseball exploding off the rookie's bat yesterday leapt into his mind. Unlike the reflection in his cup, the white sphere that Ruth hit moved with unnatural velocity and mirrored the sound and trajectory of a mortar shell. The natural hum of activity, plates clattering, silverware clinking, and murmured conversation, was disrupted by the entrance of the Ruth boy. He walked along with Coach Steinman, loudly demonstrating some new pitch that he was working on, and seeking Steinman's opinion. Dressed in damp workout clothes, indicative of recent vigorous exercise, Ruth moved through the dining room with an unconscious feline grace. Guiding the young man past Pippin's table, the coach stopped. "I never thought of it that way, George. It could work. Let's test it out in the bullpen later." Pippin half rose, acknowledging the coach. Roger winced slightly from the soreness in his legs, the product of yesterday's stint in the outfield. "That's what a few years behind a desk will do for a fellow," he mused. They both watched as Ruth joked with his favorite waiter, gesticulating broadly for what would undoubtedly be an epic breakfast. Sam chuckled. "That kid is one of a kind. His grasp of the game is well beyond his years. Hell, it's well beyond most veterans. He's developing a pitch that will look like a zipper, yet will break onto the hands of a righty striker."
Do you think Dunn will keep him on the team? The coach gave him an incredulous look. Let me put it this way. I've told the older players not to mess with the big rookie because he is one of Dunn's babes. As the coach scanned the menu, Pippen jotted into his notebook, "You heard it here first. The next great star for the Orioles is a young southpaw named George Babe Ruth. This babe hits the horsehide with such force and distance that the Orioles have yet to find a ballpark that can contain him. Watch out for the babe this season."